Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the new film, Southside With You, is being released in theaters this weekend. The film takes place in Chicago circa 1989, and it tells the story of Barack and Michelle Obama's first date. From the art gallery to the community center to Obama's junky car to a kiss outside the Baskin-Robbins, it's a charming, somewhat fictional look at the famed first date from the current first family. The film debuted to great reviews at Sundance, and it's now getting released to the world at large. The writer and director is Richard Tanney, and he's my guest tonight at the big table. Richard, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for your interest.
What about this story grabbed your attention? Because you're the writer and director. I mean, take us back to the first, you know, nuggets of this and why you wanted to turn this into a film.
Well, I think even before it was a movie, it was just in my mind, it was just sort of being struck around 2007, 2008 by the first lady and the president, the way they look at each other, the way they flirt, you know, there's a special connection. There's an authentic kind of love that I think is on display for the entire world to see. And so, yeah, actually, it had to have been 2007 because it was before the idea happened, before they were actually – before he was elected. And at some point during that campaign, I read an interview detailing – the first date. And there weren't a lot of details, but the contours were there, the locations they went to, and more importantly, the fact that Michelle was not interested in Barack at first, and she gave him one date to win her over, to prove himself. And by the end of the day, by her own admission, after this epic kind of jaunt across Chicago, he had done just that. And I related to that, and I thought maybe some other people would too. It was a good conflict to hang a movie on.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, movies today, they'll, you know, you're looking for conflict. There's, you know, this movie, and I don't want to spoil it for people. There's no car chases. There's no big Hollywood plot points. You know, there's no evil mastermind. It's a date. Mm-hmm. It's a full date where Barack Obama has to woo Michelle Robinson. It is the movie, obviously, it plays that way, but the conflicts are pretty muted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a slice of life in the truest sense, or at least that's what I was attempting to do. And that's for better or for worse. You know, if you're, you know, maybe this summer you've been getting some thrills from Jason Bourne and from you know, the superhero movies that have been out, and maybe it's time to, you know, take a deep breath and watch some people talk. Maybe it's not your thing, but that's what it is. It's just sort of an evolving connection between two people.
For Chicagoans, it's more than talk, though, because what you're trying to do is reconstruct or resurrect 1989 Chicago. And there's some really startling South Side imagery. There's some great shots on the lake. It's really not only a story about Michelle and Barack, but about Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago is definitely another character in the movie.
For you, you're not from here.
Nope.
How difficult was it to recreate a city you don't know is so specific to the South Side of Chicago in a different decade?
Well, yeah, I wrote the script from my father's house in New Jersey 3 years ago, and I'd been to Chicago a couple times, but really one of those peripheral tourist fleeting kind of trips, and you know, in for a couple days, out type of thing, and so geographically. I did the best I could while writing the script. Mm-hmm. But when I got here about a month out from production to prep and to location scout, that was when I really got to know the city. And that was when I went out with my locations team and scoured the city for location gems. One location in particular that we always wanted to shoot at, we didn't know if we'd get permission, was Altgeld Gardens, which is the southernmost tip of the city, and it's where the president organized in his mid-20s. And, you know, you just make certain discoveries when you're at these locations that you wouldn't have been able to foresee when you're writing a script from somewhere else.
And to be fair, I mean, that most of that scene takes place in a church, mm-hmm. and you're really just seeing exteriors of Altgeld Gardens. I mean, mm-hmm. that could have easily been shot anywhere. What was it about going to the traditional, the specific place where Barack Obama community organized?
Well, the interior of the church is actually it's called Quinn Chapel, and it's elsewhere in the South Side. It's not it's not in Altgeld in the Gardens. The interior was just so striking of that church, and it was a historical church. Young Obama had spoken there, but not. For different purposes. Martin Luther King Jr. had spoken there, and it was a stop on the Underground Railroad. So that church was imbued with a real sense of history and significance. And I think you kind of feel it when you're in the location and shooting it. But the exterior of the gardens, I don't know that we could have shot that anywhere else, because one of the discoveries that I made was that yellow brick wall in the mm-hmm. movie. For people who haven't seen it, Barack and Michelle walk past a very striking yellow brick wall that's a memoriam to all of the fallen brothers and sisters of that community who have been killed in gun violence. And one of the things I learned about that wall is it's been painted and repainted dozens of times over the years, which means that when young Obama was organizing there, he walked past that wall. So I didn't know that while writing the script. I didn't even know it existed, but I get there and I see it, and I'm really moved by it, and I wrote it in.
That has to be one of the positives being the writer and director, the ability for you to add things after the fact when you get into the places that Michelle Obama, or Michelle Robinson in this case, and Barack Obama actually lived, where they were. It changes the story.
Yeah. Yeah. The environment really shaped the scenes.
It's a great movie, South Side With You. It's being released this weekend in theaters. Let's take a quick break. We'll take a break. We're talking here on The Download with Richard Tanney. He's the writer-director of South Side With You, and we will continue that conversation right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest is Richard Tanney. He's the writer-director of South Side With You, the date movie of the summer, the date movie of Michelle and Barack Obama. It's released in theaters this weekend. It's really startling that, I mean, for the research of it, I mean, you read the article, you told us about the article, but, you know, they've thrown out in different speeches in different places. I remember when, you know, the first date. I mean, how much research did you have to do to call together a day of Michelle and Barack?
You know, I just read everything I could get my hands on, and I had been, even before I really decided to write the script, I'd been reading all their biographies. I'd read Dreams from My Father. I read Craig Robinson's autobiography, Game of Character, which sort of shed some light onto the Robinson family,
the whole life,
upbringing, and so I was just kind of interested in them even before I set out to write it. There's not a lot of detail about the first date. They talk a lot about it, but it's more anecdotal and sort of a generalized anecdote.
There's more talk of almost like nod to the emotion of it. She didn't like me, or, you know, I finally turned her around, but it's not specific to what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of creative license in the sense that I don't know what they talked about. I don't know what art they looked at. You know, I don't know what they clashed over, if anything. But so that was my job, was to do my homework and then just kind of throw the homework away, actually, and get the characters talking, get Barack at 28 and Michelle at 25 talking, and whatever bubbles up, you know, let it bubble up.
I mean, Chicago is a character in this, and there's some characters around the world, but this is a movie almost solely about them. It's Barack and Michelle. Most of the dialogue, the main dialogue, is them talking to each other or observing each other in different situations. When creating those characters, what do you do first? Do you write the script and or do you try to develop the two characters before you even attempt dialogue?
Well, what happens with me a lot is I do as much reading and research as I can, and I watch a lot of videos, and this is for anything that I'm working on, whether it's based on real people or not, because there's always some reality to what you're writing that you're trying to get at. And when I start to feel filled up with information and knowledge about things I didn't know previously, that's when the creative side kicks in. It's like the right brain is sort of filled to the brim, and it starts like bleeding over into the left side of the brain, and they just start talking to each other, not in any kind of like artsy fartsy way, but lines of dialogue start coming to you, that because you are getting into the mindset mm-hmm. of the characters just by learning about them. And then you form a point of view about them too, and that becomes what you're writing.
Well, what I liked about the movie was, you know, it stopped short of being heavy-handed, sort of having that point where you're like, you think I could be president?
Right,
you
know? Right. No, it does not go there.
That's, you know, and you almost, as a viewer, because these are current political figures, you almost are almost waiting for that in a way, because you're like, I know this story and I want to see at what point is he going to nod to things like, I wonder if what's with this Donald Trump guy, like, you know, like it's but that's was that difficult for you as a writer to try and stop yourself from doing bringing in wink and nod current events or what have you to these characters?
It wasn't hard, because I would never have made that movie, you know, and I'm sure it slips unconsciously into suggestive moments at times, or indicators.
It kind of has to, right?
I wonder if people will feel that way 15 years from now, 20 years from now, when he's not in the limelight the way that he is. Maybe it'll just sort of play to newer viewers as just a relationship drama, a romance. So it wasn't hard for me to avoid that stuff, because that was the primary reason I wanted to do it, was let me just try to build a credible love story between these two people. And then, you know, everyone has their own individual relationship to the president and the first lady. Everyone has their own individual opinions politically about the administration. So you're coming to the table with that. That's not my concern, but it's an added layer that makes the movie more interesting. My job, though, is just how can I get these actors listening to each other, and how can I – what is the most impressionistic way to film them, and you know, can I even just edit this and turn this into a movie that makes sense?
Well, the character – I mean, the acting is something that's just tremendous. Both of the main characters are awesome in this movie. And it's tough, because Barack Obama has been parodied. He's been – you know, there's been actors that play him in different roles. Was it difficult to find an actor who could be Barack Obama and not the president that we all know?
It wasn't difficult, because we had no time to cast. We had very little money. So we didn't do one of those nationwide searches. We were looking at a very targeted group of actors. And, you know, fantastic actors, but nobody was quite Barack. And then right as the search was sort of exhausted, and it was like, okay, make a decision. An agent from London who represented a different actor that we were looking at said, you should be checking out this guy. And that was Parker Sawyers. And, you know, his first audition tape came in, and the physical resemblance was uncanny, but he was doing a Saturday Night Live level impersonation, which is exactly what I wasn't looking for. But he was so like him in certain ways, physical ways, that I wanted to see what else was there. So we spoke. I gave him one note. Drop the president. Drop the guy you see on TV every night. Just you're just a guy trying to get a girl, you know, to go have a cup of coffee with you. He absorbed that immediately. The next day, a new tape came in, and he was the guy.
He was the guy.
It was sort of one of those things where I don't – and I said this to his mother last night. If you hadn't met your husband and given birth to him, I don't think the movie would have worked. I think he's uniquely
– He really is.
– suited to play this part.
And, you know, in Chicago, we know the president as a senator. We know him as a state senator. I mean, myself, I've been in the media for 20, 25 years now, and I've known him more casually, meaning he's behind the scenes. It's not as presidential as everyone knows. And, I mean, it's kind of nail it.
You know? That's good to hear.
I mean, but it is. I mean, it really is. Like, he was a little bit more sleeves rolled up, loosey-goosey, having fun, but at the same time being able to talk to his community as he does in the church. There's just something about him that he was able to do that you don't see as much when he's in the White House.
Right, right. I mean, but as far as leaders go and presidents go, even when he's making the hardest kinds of speeches to make or the hardest kinds of decisions, he always does seem relatively laid back. Not casual, but cool and collected. So you can only imagine how that carries over to when he's not being the commander in chief. And prior to that, you know, he's probably a pretty pretty sanguine guy.
Right, he is. Okay, so the one thing you mentioned just about people bringing in their own thoughts about the president or political or what have you about what they think about Obama. Is that, as a filmmaker, and you want to tell us a love story about two characters, is it difficult doing something with someone who's so polarizing where half of the nation may go, I don't want anything to do with this guy. I don't want to see that movie. I don't like Barack Obama.
No, I mean, you know, you just you do it and whoever comes to see it comes to see it. I mean, I keep saying this. If I was a smarter person, I might have thought about that. Or am I alienating a segment of the audience? But I never really thought I was making a four-quadrant movie, you know, that would appeal to everybody. I also wasn't making it just for Barack Obama supporters. I just was compelled by their first date and by that love. And so, you know,
I guess it's no different than any actors. I mean, you know, the idea that you would go see a movie because you like an actor or you don't like an actor, that there are different attitudes that play out when people choose the entertainment they have.
Right. And look, the characters in real life are arguably bigger, you know, movie stars or icons than some of the actors that bring people into theaters. So, you know, even if there is a segment that's turned off, there's so many more that would potentially be intrigued by a Barack and Michelle movie. I wasn't even thinking about any of that, though. You only start to think about those things after people are watching it and have opinions about it and audiences are seeing it, and then the distributors are figuring out what the campaign is going to be like to get it out there and when's the right time. I just went into this as I really wanted to tell the story. I felt I had something to contribute to that story. And then every single day, you know, we had a 17-day shoot, 15 days of principal photography, 2 days of pickups.
Man.
And so you're just – every day you're just waking up and trying to tie your shoelaces, trying to get the shot, trying to work with the actors. And then you're in the editing room and you're like, well, this sucks. This is bad. Like, this is a my first viewing of the assembly cut was probably the most depressing day of my life. And I think – and I've heard that from other filmmakers before. So then you're just trying to whip this thing into shape and you're not thinking about how Republicans are going to take it or CNN.
Newt Gingrich is going to like this, right?
No, I know how what he's going to think of it. Yeah.
My guest tonight at the big table, writer and director Richard Tanney. His film Southside With You takes a look at a somewhat fictional first date movie of Michelle and Barack Obama. Let's take a break for the news. We'll come back and we'll have more with Richard Tanney. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. All right, in studio with me at the big table, writer and director Richard Tanney. His film Southside With You released this weekend in theaters, the story of Barack and Michelle Obama's first date. And it did well at Sundance. I mean, this was a movie that even before it screened, people were intrigued. You know, I mean, there is something about making a film and fictionalizing a film about the current political figures of our time. It seems to be done more and more and more in current time, and it never was done before. So, I was thinking back to – I was talking with Pete about movies that come out when the president is still president.
Mm-hmm.
It's about them. And I guess Primary Colors would be one, and then Oliver Stone's movie, W. What's the feel behind putting this out while the president is still in office?
Well, there was a movie that came out during JFK's first and only term called PT-190, I think. And it was actually about his time in the Navy.
Okay.
And that was actually considered, more of a sort of hagiography or propaganda type of thing because it was just – it wasn't true. Like a lot – it turned him into a kind of hero that perhaps he wasn't. Whereas, you know, it's not that he wasn't heroic, but I think it propped him up in a way that was uncomfortable for a lot of people. Yeah, I mean, W, I actually really like W. It's a different kind of movie. It is a sort of sweeping biopic about Bush's life. It's also a satire. Primary Colors is also a satire.
Yeah, right.
And it's not, I mean, it is very obviously about the Clintons. Names are changed and all that stuff. And I actually like that movie a lot, too. I think it's very underrated. I'm trying to think if there are any other examples. There's obviously Young Mr. Lincoln, which didn't come out during Lincoln.
Came out right after Lincoln.
But it's a great movie with Henry Fonda and directed by John Ford. And that maybe sets the precedent for young president movies.
I like this concept because it is a movie about, like you said, arguably characters that are bigger than movie stars, and it's fictional. It's a date movie. It's not about politics.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of go out of your way to protect the movie in that way. You don't have scenes where you're like, we really got to help the community. Oh, yeah, I hope, you know, we can be a leader for the new state. There's not that's just not part of it. Was it tough for you to keep the politics out of a movie about Barack and Michelle Obama?
Not really, because not at all, actually, because I wasn't trying to make a political statement, number one, and I wasn't weaving in the politics of Barack Obama's presidency. I was just focused on their life experiences.
1989, right.
Up until 1989. And I banned myself from looking at anything after 89. So, you know, if I was reading something and it started talking about, and then in 1991 when they got out, I don't want to read about it. I even for a while I was writing it, stopped watching the news and didn't want that getting into my system. So I sort of just felt that if I can stay grounded, and if they could be saying believable things and making believable decisions and meeting believable people, you know, you get to the community organizing scene and they're not dealing with the issues of Chicago. Well, a lot of the issues are still going on there, but they're not dealing with the issues of our country right now, per se. They're dealing with very specific things that are happening in their community. In the case of this movie, I had it so that they're trying to build a community center. So just looking at that and going, how would a young Obama respond in a pragmatic way to people feeling defeated about not having that building, about not being given the funding for that building, about being rejected? How would he talk them up? What solutions would he offer?
What I love about your movie, too, is that that's not even the focus of the movie.
Right.
It's not this is not a movie about how young Barack Obama and Michelle Robinson try to build a community center.
No, actually, he takes her to the meeting,
right,
and
right.
It's actually part of
it's
it.
Just a little part of it.
Part of it's seduction, though.
Right.
In part, he's trying to impress her.
Right, which she calls out, which
right.
is great.
Which she calls him out.
Okay, so another part, we talked about this earlier, just about Chicago, 1989. You're not from here, and being able to get that right. How difficult is it as a filmmaker to capture the spirit of a time and place when the city has moved on, when things have modernized, when you can't really do a 1989 shot of a block because, you know, there's all these condos and other things? Is it difficult to find a Chicago 1989?
You know, it's not difficult because there's a lot of areas that haven't been gentrified and that kind of feel stuck in time. So you can find a lot of those, but it's what's difficult is then finding a place that then suits the needs of filming as well. So, you know, we got really lucky in the sense of, the Art Institute was just too modernized and there were too many conditions to shoot there. They were very helpful and it's a wonderful place. But we got lucky with the Cultural Center, which is sort of a timeless location. And so we built our own museum exhibit in the Cultural Center.
Now, I read that you weren't able to get Michelle Obama's home.
No.
But you found a home near it.
Yeah.
In the same kind of style, a bungalow style of Chicago. So, I mean, you're right in the sense that it is timeless in some ways.
I mean, with the exception of a few cars lining that street, which were post-90s, right? Actually, many of them were, but some of them were hidden in the driveway and they weren't in our frame. With the exception of a few that had to be moved off the street, there are sections of South Shore that just have the antiquated look that we needed. There's a plaque in Hyde Park where outside of the mini mall where they had their first kiss on the curb, and it's now a Subway. It was a Baskin Robbins, but you know, a few blocks down, I think it's Kimbark or Kimball Plaza, is where we shot the kiss and the ice cream scene, and that it's pretty much untouched except for some bike racks that we had to unscrew and got permission to move.
It's so great you're talking about this. Go ahead.
And we had to turn a Harold's Chicken Shack into a Baskin Robbins, but they let us do it. So
I love all the work that has to go into little things like making sure like cars with models that are past 19 are off the street, or unscrewing bike racks because being a filmmaker, it's not just sort of like, this shot looks good, let's do it.
No, and then, of course, you know, you have people telling you, oh, well, you could just frame the bike rack out, or you could, you know, no one's going to see it or know that it's too new. And it's like, I get what you're saying, but it actually compromises the integrity of the scene, you know, whether it pokes out, it's in the wrong place, it blocks our camera movement, so You do have to keep track of all those little details, and you do have to fight for them.
Details are a big part of making an independent film. For you to be able to put this together, you have to have an amazing crew around you, but also an attention to detail, because time is tight, money's tight, to be able to do this in a specific way that you want to do it. Is that a challenge for a filmmaker with limited resources?
It's a big challenge, but I was lucky because I had a crew that really stepped up to the plate. I had key department heads, like my cinematographer, production designer. They came in from out of state along with me. But we had a 98% Chicago-based crew.
And so they knew how to get around.
They knew how to get around. They knew the ropes. My first AD was a guy named Andy Spellman, who works on Chicago Med, and he does the aerial units on all the big movies that come into town. And I mean, he just runs a tight ship, and we were able to make our days and meet our schedule and stay on budget largely because of people like him.
Well, we hear Chicago, you know, becoming a better place for filmmakers to be able to shoot, just in, you know, the last decade with all the positive things that have happened with CineSpace and on. Do you feel, as an outside director who came in and shot here in Chicago, that this is a place that was good for you and also a place that you would come back to?
Oh, yeah. They were great to us. I mean, we actually couldn't have done it without the help of the city, the unions, and the communities themselves. I mean, people opened up their homes to us to have lunch, to use the bathroom, to hang out. You know, the actors got, you know, we were invited into people's homes, and the community would come out and cheer us on. Hey, Michelle. Hey, Barack. You know, and just be excited and give their time and their spaces over to us. So that's the first thing. And then I would absolutely shoot here again. I mean, the tax rebates that we got were incredible and allowed us to make our budget. And it's really a film-friendly city, because as more mostly television productions, but a lot of independent film too, as more television productions are ramping up here, a new generation of crew men and women are being trained every single day. And
that's important, yeah.
Really important, because there could be a state or a city that offers good rebates or incentives, but if you don't have the local crew there to then support the filmmakers coming in from Los Angeles or other places, it's not really a place you're going to be able to shoot, and Chicago has that in spades.
Last question. This is a love story. Did you nail it?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you're a filmmaker. You wanted to capture a relationship, a love scene. It obviously was important to you that you started in 2007. You were intrigued by this love story. Do you feel like at the end of the day, the emotion comes through that we see that love?
You know, I don't think I'm qualified to say, because
but for you personally, I know what I feel.
Yeah.
And I know what everyone watching, but for you as the director, I mean, do you feel like,
you know, I've seen it so many times now, and of course I edited the thing to death with my editor, that I just see the flaws now. You know, and I just see what I want to do better next time. But I do see how people are reacting, and that tells me that they're seeing the chemistry between the two actors. They are believing the two actors as these two real people, and they're kind of falling in love vicariously. Mm-hmm. And it reminds a lot of people about falling in love themselves for the first time, or it sort of, you know, makes people feel aspirational about what kind of relationship they're after.
Absolutely. Southside with You is the new movie. It's being released in theaters this weekend. It's a story of Barack and Michelle Obama's first date. The writer and director is Richard Tanney, is my guest tonight at the big table. Richard, thanks for talking.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.